Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 79. Why people don't trust you and how to change that. All right, here we go.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
Free Market Squad in the place to be. What's up? Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. My name is Nathan Fraser. I am the high priest of propaganda over here at the Free Market Squad. And this is the Nathan Fraser Show, the BYO Boss podcast. And today we're going to be talking about how to convince people to do business with you. This is something that I know I struggled with for a long time. I know that lots of y'all listening and paying attention right now probably struggle with. So I'm going to go back to a story from when I was a kid. And I grew up in the 80s. And we had this thing that happened in the 80s where being gay was not like socially acceptable yet. So you had people that you knew, everybody knew that they were gay. All the kids in school knew that they were gay. Everybody in high school knew that they were gay. All the kids in the neighborhood knew that this particular person was gay, but they weren't like, it wasn't socially acceptable. So they didn't come out of the closet. So to prove that they, because they had like a complex about it, they were always trying to prove that they weren't gay. So they would always be like, oh man, that girl's so fine. Oh man, I hooked up with 5 girls this weekend. And everybody was like, yeah, okay, we all know the truth. You're gay. It's okay. It's cool. We accept you. But socially, it wasn't acceptable. So we had this phenomena where people that weren't gay went, or people that were gay went out of their way to prove that they weren't gay. Same thing with like guys that brag about how big their dick is or how awesome they are in bed. And then you hook up with one of their exes and they're like, yeah, they had like a Bic lighter dick. And you're like, oh, that guy's always talking about how big his dick is. Oftentimes people will overcompensate and for whatever they feel insecure about, and they'll go out of their way to try and persuade the conversation the other way. Liberals do this a lot. Liberals and always trying to prove how non-racist they are. So here's the deal. I used to work with this guy named Steve. I used to manage a Sonic drive-in, and one of the guys that worked there, his name was Steve, and he was a black guy, and he was smart. So I wouldn't say he was liberal or conservative, but he was very smart. And he told me one day, we were talking about affirmative action, and at this point in my life, I was staunchly liberal. I was staunchly for affirmative action. I was for all of the he changed my mind. We'll say this. We were talking one day and he was talking about how difficult it was for him to find a job that he actually wanted and feel like he actually earned the respect of his employers, because he said that when he would go get a job, he was always worried that they were only hiring him to fill a quota. He felt like they weren't actually hiring him based off of his own merits. He felt like affirmative action was actually something that hurt his chances at success in life. And he said that when he went to college, he felt incredibly insulted by the fact that his SATs, the levels that he had to get on his SATs were lower than the levels that white people had to get. He said that he felt insulted by the fact that he obviously was a smart guy and he got incredibly high levels on his SATs, but he said that he felt insulted by the fact that there was two standards. There was a standard for black people, and then there was a standard for white people, and white people were held to a higher standard, as if black people just weren't capable of meeting the same standards that white people were. And it was pretty much liberal ideals that put those standards in place. So he always told me that he kind of felt insulted more by liberals than he did by conservatives, because liberals were constantly lowering the standards. And he felt like, at least the way he explained it to me, and it totally changed the way that I looked at it. He said that he felt like liberals thought less of him than conservatives did, because conservatives said, no, you should have to be held to the same standards as everybody else. And liberals were like, no, he can't possibly reach he's black. He can't possibly be as smart as white people. So we have to lower the standards for him. And he said that made him sick to his stomach. And so that kind of changed the way that right there kind of changed the way that I looked at the whole thing. Cause I never really realized how actually racist affirmative action and lowering standards and expectations for people of color. I hate that word, people of color, but it made me realize, wow, like these liberals who are always going on about how racist the Republicans are and how morally superior liberals are and how unracist liberals are. Wow, they're actually pretty racist. And it took a black guy explaining it to me before I was actually able to understand that these people that go around talking about how unracist they are and how racist everybody else is, they were actually pretty racist. And one of the other things he brought up to me was how frequently abortion clinics and Planned Parenthoods, how statistically they're way more frequent inside of lower income and minority neighborhoods, as if almost they're trying to help minorities kill themselves out. So, these things that I always thought were like great things that liberals were doing to help boost up minorities, when somebody from that background came to me and was like, dude, that's actually pretty racist, all of a sudden I was like, wow, these like virtue signaling liberals that run around talking about how everybody else is racist and how not racist they are, actually at the root of their belief system, they're pretty damn racist. So when people say, when they go out of their way to prove that they're not gay, when they go out of their way to prove how big their dick is or how awesome they are in bed, when they go out of their way to prove how not racist they are, a lot of times it's because they're compensating, because deep down they know that the opposite is actually true. Right now in the male feminist community, we're seeing this huge all these like male feminists that have been supporters of women's rights are now being accused of being sexual predators and being rapists and assaulters. And Josh Whedon, I think, or Sweden, or I can't, Josh Whedon, I think, is it Josh Whedon? That's it. One of my favorite, he did the what was that TV show called? Serenity, Firefly. He did Firefly, such a brilliant TV series. He has long been like a supporter of women's rights and a staunch male feminist. And it came out recently during his divorce that he had actually been cheating on his wife the whole time that they were together. And he was exploiting his female actors and using his position of power to persuade his female actresses to have sex with him. So this guy that's a champion of women's rights is actually using his position of power to pressure young impressionable females into having sex with them. Last year, earlier this year, some huge male feminist actually murdered his girlfriend on a YouTube live stream. All these people, all these guys that are like these beta males that want to champion the cause of feminism, and then it comes out that a large percentage of them are actually sexual predators themselves. These guys that are running around espousing how much we need to respect women, and then in their own personal lives, they're actually predators. They're actually murdering their girlfriends and pressuring impressionable female actresses into having sex with them outside of wedlock. So we have this phenomenon as human beings where when we go out of our way to express how great of a person we are, it's usually because we're not. And it's usually because we're compensating. And in the marketplace, people know this. People know, and business owners suffer from this. Business owners always want to talk about how great their business is, how awesome their service is, how awesome their product is. They want to brag about how they've been in business for so long. They want to brag about how great results they can get for you and how your life will be changed if you just go with them rather than go with their competition, and how great their customer service is and how great the results that you'll get from buying their product, how it's going to change your life. And because we know subconsciously, the guy that talks about how ungay he is, there's probably a chance that he's really gay. The liberal that talks about how non-racist they are, there's probably a chance that they're pretty racist underneath it all. The male feminist that talks about how great of a champion they are for female rights, there's probably a chance that they're actually a deviant underneath and they're just using that as cover. They're compensating. So when a business owner goes out of their way to talk about, or a freelancer, when you get on the call with a freelancer and they want to talk about how they've done this job and they've done that job and they can do this for you and they can do that for you, and they just talk themselves up the whole time. A lot of times, as a skeptical buyer who deals with humans in real life, one of the things that we think to ourselves is, how much of this can I actually believe? Or how much of this is them trying to compensate? How much of this is them just talking about themselves, bragging themselves up? And how much are we going to actually believe that? And the fact of the matter is, being a copywriter, being a marketer, I know that it's not very much. We don't typically tend to believe people when they brag about themselves. So business owners make these ads about how great their product is, how great their service is, how great their business is, and then they don't get the results. Freelancers go out and talk about, oh, I'm the best graphic designer ever, or I'm the best copywriter ever, or I'm the best marketing consultant ever, or I'm the best plumber ever, and people don't believe them. And then they're like, well, I told them about how great I was. Why didn't they believe me? And it's because we're skeptical. When someone goes out of their way to prove how great they are in one aspect of their life, usually there's a red flag that goes up in the back of our minds that says, well, the gay guy that said he wasn't gay was lying. The liberal who said he wasn't racist was lying. The male feminist who said he loved male or female rights was lying. Maybe this business owner who's talking about how great he is actually lying. Ben Settle, one of my favorite guys ever to follow. Ben always has this, he says this thing all the time. He says, if you have to say it, you ain't it. And that's the truth. If you have to go out and tell people how great your business is, chances are your business isn't actually as great as you're bragging about it being. So if people know this, then how do you get around that? How do you get around the fact that most people aren't going to take your word for it about how great your business is, how great your service is, how great your product is? Well, that's what the point of this podcast is all about today. So I'm going to give two simple ways to overcome the fact that people are going to be skeptical. People are not going to trust you just because you say that you're great. People aren't going to believe it. So number one, testimonials. Testimonials are a great way to have somebody else say how great you are. People aren't going to believe you. They're not going to believe what you say about yourself, but they will believe, or at least they'll be more likely to believe what other people say about you. So if you talk about how you deliver these great results, they're probably not going to believe it. But if one of your previous clients or your previous customers talks about how great your results are, people are more likely to believe that. There's a whole element of social proof there. So testimonials are a great way to overcome the skepticism with a new prospect, with a new lead. Some tips on getting testimonials. I say get testimonials right away. As soon as you're done with a job, get a testimonial. Like before the ink has even dried, get a testimonial. The reason why I say this is, why most people actually don't do it is most people don't get testimonials right away because they're afraid. They're like, well, if I ask them if they were pleased, maybe they're going to think about something they weren't pleased about, or they'll say, they'll not give me the testimonial that I want. And so people procrastinate on getting testimonials. They put it off. They're like, I'm not going to do it today. I don't feel comfortable asking for a testimonial today. So I'll wait till tomorrow. And then tomorrow turns into next week. And then that turns into the next week. And then you end up not having any testimonials at all. So to avoid that, for that reason, I get testimonials right away. And there's also a couple benefits to getting testimonials right away. People are most happy with what you provided for them right away. They're still in the honeymoon phase. If you delivered awesome service, that right after they got that experience, that's when they're the most likely to give you a good testimonial. So if you sell something, if you sell a service, immediately after the service is done, ask for a testimonial. If you sell a product, when you deliver the product, ask for a testimonial at that point. People are more likely to give you a good testimonial right after they've received the pleasant experience. Also, people are wanting to confirm that they made the right decision. People are looking for an excuse to be consistent in their belief that they made the right decision. Asking for a testimonial gives them the ability to drive home that consistency in their belief system. They feel like they made a right decision. If you give them the opportunity to be vocal about the fact that they made the right decision, then they're going to take advantage of it because they want to confirm that bias. That's the way we are. As human beings, we want to confirm what we believe. If you give them the opportunity, they're going to be more than happy to take advantage of it. So give them the opportunity. As soon as you're done delivering your product or your service, ask them for a testimonial. And the way that I word my testimonials, I have a form on Free Market Squad on the Free Market Squad website. As soon as I'm done working with the client, I send them to the form. Like within 5 minutes after I'm done, I send them to the form and I say, fill this form out. The form is geared towards getting a good testimonial. I don't ask them, was there anything that I did that you weren't happy with? What was the worst part of this experience for you? If you could get your money back, how likely would you be to want your money back? Don't ask those type of questions in your testimonials. In my testimonials, I ask them what I want from them. I ask them, what was the best thing about working with me? If you only had one aha moment out of our consultation, what would you say that was? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being Nathan is a jackass and doesn't know what he's talking about, 10 being Nathan is a marketing genius and everybody should go to this guy for advice, where would you rate me at? And I ask that third. I ask them first, what was the best experience of your interaction with me? So that I've got already, I've started laying the way that I want the testimonial to go. Then I ask them, how happy were you with this? Then I ask them, what was the one aha moment? What was the best thing about working with me? So then by the time they get to, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate me? They've already given me 4 answers that paint me in a good light. So by the time I ask them, they're going to want to be consistent with that. And they're going to say 10 out of 10. I've never got anything other than 10 out of 10 or 5 out of 5. I've worked with, 25 plus businesses in the last 2 years. I've never got anything but a 5 out of 5 or a 10 out of 10 when I've asked for it. And it's because I ask right away, I formulate my testimonial process to first ask them the best thing about the experience, the biggest aha moment that they came out of it, and then I ask for what 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10, what was your experience? And they want to be consistent with the answers that they already gave. And then obviously in testimonials, you need to ask for permission to use it in your marketing. So at the bottom of my testimonial form, I ask them, do I have your permission to use your name, your likelihood, your face, your picture, whatever, plus your comments here in my future marketing. And again, they're always happy to do it. So don't be afraid to ask for testimonials. Now, here's the thing. Not all industries are allowed to use testimonials. I think in the financial industry, it's forbidden. You can't use testimonials. In the insurance industry, I believe also the same thing. You're not allowed to use testimonials in the insurance industry either. So be careful about using testimonials in your marketing, but it's still a great idea. Collect your testimonials. Even if you're not allowed to use them, you can hang them up in your office. You can look at them every time you're feeling down. If you have a office full of workers, you can put those testimonials up to motivate them. So still, even if you can't use them in your marketing, it's a great idea to collect testimonials along the way and have that positive confirmation whenever you're feeling down and beating yourself up. You can just go back and look at all the awesome results that you've got for other people. And that's always a great thing as well. So if you can't get testimonials, another thing that I found that is just brilliant that works for getting people to convince themselves so that you don't have to convince them is demonstrations. So here's the deal. People won't believe what you tell them. Have you ever heard the saying, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? People will believe what they see. People will believe what they experience for themselves. They won't believe you if you just tell them. So demonstrations work wonders. Instead of telling them how much you can help, just show up and show them how much you can help. iPhones in the blender, there was the blender commercial that was on the TV, on the televisions a few years back that showed the blender chopping up an iPhone. When I was a kid, they used to have the infomercials for the knife set where the guy would cut through the head of a hammer and then take that same knife and cut through a tomato to show you how durable the knives were. Demonstrations work wonders. The vacuum that has such great suction power that it can pick up a bowling ball. Instead of talking about how great the vacuum is, instead of talking about how great the blender is, instead of talking about how great the knife is and how it keeps its sharp edge even after years of use, just demonstrate it. Just cut the end of a hammer off with the knife and then take that same knife and cut through a tomato smooth as silk. And that demonstration goes miles further than you running on and on about how great your knife is. Just demonstrate it. Show them, look how great this knife is. I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm just going to show you. Just demonstrate. Demonstrations are amazing for winning people over. I used to know somebody that sold vacuums door to door. And one of the things that they would do then when they were talking about how horrible the air in the house was, and one of the features of the vacuum was that it would clean the air in your house while they start, and the vacuum was quiet and easy to run. One of the things is they would start out the conversation. They'd say, "Hey, I'm going to do this later, but do you mind if I turn this vacuum on?" They'd show them the filter, the air filter. They'd put it in the vacuum. They turn it on. After their 5-minute, 10-minute, 15-minute sales pitch, they'd go over to the vacuum, they'd turn it off, they'd pull the filter out, and the filter was just pulling air in and out, and they'd pull the filter out, and it'd be black. And they'd be like, "Just in 5 minutes, we pulled this much dirt out of your air. That's how much dirt is in your air." A demonstration. And people, if they weren't ready to buy then, they'd just be like, "Holy crap, we were breathing that, and just in 5 minutes, your vacuum pulled all of that dust out of the air? Yeah, I need this vacuum." A demonstration is freaking amazing. So better than just telling them your air is polluted and you're breathing in all this dirt, just demonstrate it. Show them how much dirt is in the air and how much dirt this vacuum pulled out of the air. Demonstrations work wonders. As a copywriter, I'm demonstrating my knowledge and my expertise on it all the time. I send out emails, not as consistently as I should, but I send out emails 2 or 3 times a week showing that I know how to copywrite, showing that I understand business. People read my emails and they say, "Hey, I want you to help me with my next advertising campaign. I want you to help me with my next marketing campaign." My emails aren't, "Look how smart I am. I'm so awesome. I understand marketing. I have all these great customers and all these great experiences." My emails are just, "Hey, did you ever think about this? Check this out. This story, relate it back to your business and tell me if that helps put your business into a clearer picture. If you want more help, holler at your boy. Here's how you can get a hold of me." Bam, I get money. I show up and I do podcast episodes. I show up and I do Facebook Live videos. I do Facebook posts. I actually do more demonstration on Facebook because for some reason I get more clients through Facebook than I do through email. I probably just need to work email harder, but I'm incentivized to stick to Facebook because I make a lot of money on Facebook. But the fact of the matter is I show up and I demonstrate. I talk about why certain things in advertising don't work and why certain things do work. I talk about human psychology. I talk about why psychology affects how your business can run. I demonstrate my knowledge. I don't just say I'm a great copywriter. I know how to write good sales letters. I show up and show why sales letters aren't working, why other people's sales tactics aren't working, why certain sales tactics do work. I show up every single day and I demonstrate my knowledge. I demonstrate that I know. People consume that content and they convince themselves that I know what I'm talking about. I don't have to talk about how brilliant I am. They read my posts, they read my emails, and they say, "Oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. I never even knew that. I never even understood that. And he made it way clearer for me. I need to hire this guy." So by getting testimonials, by providing demonstrations, people are so much more likely to convince themselves rather than you having to convince them. So I hope that helps. I hope that this will help you avoid having to go out there and promote for yourself and be the gay guy that runs around talking about how not gay you are. All right. My name is Nathan Frazier. I am the High Priest of Propaganda over at the Free Market Squad. You can check out more episodes of my podcast over at NathanFrazierShow.com. And make sure that you like and subscribe to however you receive this episode. If it's on Facebook, subscribe to my Facebook feed. If it's on the podcast, maybe iTunes, subscribe on iTunes. Other than that, I am out of here. Remember, Free Market Squad, be your own boss. #BYOBoss. I'm out of here. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Hey, I've got a real quick question for you. Are your advertising efforts not getting the response you expected? Would you like them to perform better? If so, I've got something that'll help you out. Before you spend another dime on advertising, head on over to my website and download your free copywriting consumer awareness guide. In it, you'll discover 4 red flags that can help you avoid hiring a bad copywriter, 9 foundational elements that every good sales message should include, 3 questions you must ask before you spend a penny on sales copy, 4 secret editing tricks that'll drive people to keep reading your ads, and a whole lot more. Want to get the most out of your advertising budget? Head on over to freemarketsquad.com/copyguide and claim your free copywriting consumers awareness guide today.